It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, that perfect place for your game day snack. As we welcome in on the hotline, Fox 8's own John Telich. JT, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Gorgeous day. This whole week is fantastic. Fall-like weather here in Northeast Ohio. Pretty nice.
Oh, yes. I for one, am a big fan of the hooded sweatshirt temperature season, being a big fan of hoodies that I am. But, hey, you know, someone that the Browns fans are a big fan of right now is Myles Garrett, coming off a big week for the Browns defense. And that's where I want to start with this past win on Sunday over the Chicago Bears. 26-6 was the final. And the defense in particular obviously shined in that one, JT. And how about that pass rush, man? I mean, poor Justin Fields for the Bears was running for his life back there, but this Browns defensive pass rush finally showed up on Sunday.
Yeah, it was really phenomenal. I mean, when you look at this, Rocco, they had, I believe, 41 offensive snaps, and on 9 of those, their quarterback was on his back with one or two Cleveland Browns lying on top of him. That's amazing. It's an incredible stat, and it was just a great case of the four guys up front. They did a little tweaking here and there. I know Miles was mostly on the right side, 29 snaps on the right, I think 6 or 7 on the left side. There was one or two occasions where he and Jadavian were together alongside each other attacking the quarterback. Very unfair of what was done to Justin Fields by the Chicago Bears staff. They could have been a little more creative in trying to get him outside, let him use his legs a little bit, but the Browns were determined. They got home to him mostly with the four-man rush. It wasn't like they sent, you know, 6 guys on plays or any of that. They just had a phenomenal day from perhaps, you know, the top defensive player in the league alongside a guy like Aaron Donald that was able to get to him. And it was absolutely incredible. And let's give Clowney some props, because he had 2 sacks. He had several hurries, several hits. He had no sacks last year, so this was obviously an incredible step up for what Clowney had been used to in the last year or so.
I think that was a good word that you used for the Bears game plan as far as Justin Fields is concerned. It was just unfair for him, right? I mean, there was really nothing the kid can do when you're running for your life as soon as you get the snap. But, you know, the Browns defense has to do what they have to do. They're not going to feel bad or pity Justin Fields on any given Sunday, that's for sure. So nope. Taking a step back layer-wise defensively, looking at the linebacking crew, JOK, yep. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a stellar game on Sunday against the Bears. JT, how good can this kid be?
Well, I think he's a special athlete. You know, he has that incredibly quick closing speed. He's going sideline to sideline with his speed that he uses, that he used when he was at Notre Dame, 215 pounds. You would say, oh, my gosh, that poor guy is going to be a mismatch against offensive linemen. But I can recall on one play where he made a tackle for either a 1-yard loss or 0 yardage or whatever. He attacked that tackle, I think it was Peters, and was able to brush him off, without taking him on. I mean, that's kind of a little nuance here. He didn't take him on to try to overpower him. He finessed his way past him with using his quickness, and he was able to smother the ball carrier, Montgomery. And so those were the types of things that we saw on several occasions. I mean, another play, he was able to sniff that the tight end was staying in to block, and then he had no one in his area because the Browns played mostly zone. He had no one in his area, so he went after Justin Fields and got that half sack that Myles Garrett was joking about, like he stole one of my sacks. I was just so impressed by him. So what are we going to see? He had 23 snaps. He had a grade of 93.9, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So are we going to see him play every snap? No, I think he's a special guy. He's a weapon. He's someone that you're not going to overuse. I give Kevin and the defensive coaches, Joe Woods and company, great props for not overwhelming him and having him, because there were injuries, you know, in front of him that enabled him to play, to get that start. So I think that's what they're going to do going forward, knowing they have a very unique talent. He's got phenomenal pass coverage awareness, and we saw that on several occasions where he took on Allen Robinson coming into his area. And you're going, oh, my gosh, you know, this was a wide receiver. And I was just really impressed by how well he played. And I'm not the nerdy, you know, pro football focused kind of guy, but it seems like more and more people are taking heed to their grades and what have you. And he's just like the teacher's pet there. The teacher's not getting the apple every day. He's getting the apple from the teacher. They really love this kid.
And correct me if I'm way off with drawing a bit of a comparison here, but I look at a guy like Jabril Peppers when he was here in Cleveland, and the staff at the time didn't really know how to use him properly. And it's a bit different positionally between him and JOK. But I just look at the difference between that regime and this regime, right? With a bit of a unique defensive guy, doesn't really fit one particular mold. You kind of have to be creative with how you use him. And yet this staff so far through 3 weeks seems to have nailed exactly how to use it. Whereas before with a guy like Jabril Peppers, they just really didn't know how to use a guy like that, and I think that sort of exemplifies the difference between the Browns then and the Browns now. Am I right with that?
I agree with you 100%, Rocco. Jabril did make some plays. I recall in that Denver game he made a very decisive sack or caused a fumble, or I can't remember exactly what happened. That would have been Baker's rookie year. But most of the time, as we joked, he was playing in Eastlake, you know, when they're at First Energy Stadium. And it was tough for him to make plays when he was 20 yards off the football. That was Greg with two G's, Williams defense that he was trying to play. But I think already we have seen in 3 weeks of limited action, and a rookie, nonetheless, who was drafted in the 50s, is making a very, very strong impact. And not just on, you know, the defensive side of the ball. This is a special athlete that is making that coverage team better, and special teams being more and more confident as they go week in and week out that they're going to be a better unit because he's part of it. Guys like Greedy Williams are a part of it.
John Telich here, our guest on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, looking at the offensive side of the football, the rushing attack for the Browns on Sunday was really in full force, really owned Chicago as far as that went. I thought they were a bit pass-happy, in my opinion, to start things off, but once they got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt going, I thought the offense really started clicking, and boy, Kareem Hunt looked like he was running angry against the Bears.
Yeah, he really did. And you know what I thought happened early in this game was, you know, they did want to run, but I think there were occasions where Kevin got a little aggressive and they weren't getting as much success. They're trying to get, you know, that zone blocking going to get to the outside, and Nick wasn't having much success with it. They went to Kareem. Kareem had some screens that he was very effective with. And then when he was running the ball, as you mentioned, just an angry human being, and it showed. I mean, he had 61 yards after contact. He had one of those outstanding games where, you know, 80-plus yards on the ground and then on 60, 70 yards or so. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but receiving the football. He's just such a special type of a football player, and I know people fawn over Nick Chubb, and there's many reasons, too, and we saw it once again on Sunday because as the game wore on, especially in the fourth quarter, he had a much, you know, a better yards per carry average when they're kind of putting the game away. But when you can go and run for 215 yards against a team that was basically giving up about 70, and you do that for an entire game, and as that game wears on, it's literally taken the manhood away from some of those guys on the defense. It's demoralizing. And as you look at this Browns rushing attack this year, they've had 8 rushing touchdowns, which is 3 better than the next best team in the National Football League, and 18 runs of 10 yards or more. Those stats courtesy of Dan Murphy, the Browns, thank you very much for that. And that's the tops in the NFL. And their overall rushing numbers of 524 yards, that's number 2 in the league. So they have, with Bill Callahan, they've done an outstanding job there. And one side note is a little concerned about Jedrick Wills. So I think we're doing this every week with him. You know, he didn't practice much, but he answered the bell. He played. I think Nick Chubb fell on him at one time, so he had to go out of the game, missed 8 snaps or 10 snaps or whatever, and they brought in Blake Kantz. I think, you know, maybe I'm not sure, if, you know, this is certainly Kevin's call, but you know, do you sit a guy like him down? Do you give him a week off to just let it calm down, or do you kind of push this thing along until you've got that 10 days in between, you know, when you go ahead and play the Thursday game, and then you got 10 days after that for your next game? It's a delicate call for Kevin to make, and I would imagine they're thinking about that as this week progresses.
Absolutely. JT, my last question as far as this past Sunday's game against Chicago, what were your thoughts about Odell Beckham Jr.'s return to the gridiron?
I thought he was spectacular. I thought he was great. It was the Odell that we knew. He's so phenomenal near the sideline with his foot awareness and his ability to catch the football. Everybody kind of, had their heart go up into their throat when he took his first hit.
Yeah.
Bounced up okay, looked great. And we were there after the game in the locker room or in the in the press room for his interview. And as you all probably have heard, he said how exhausted he was. He played 52 snaps. They didn't really have him on a quote unquote pitch count. I think they just kind of went and saw how the game went for him. And he was, as Kevin said, he was in constant communication with those guys as to how he felt. And 52 snaps is kind of what he did. Now, I think it probably was good in that fourth quarter when you knew they're just going to bang away, that he wouldn't have that many, wholehearted, routes to run down the field and could kind of just get out there and block. But I thought he was very, very good. Now comes the big question, how effective can he be in week two? Will the legs come back to him? That was one of his concerns after the game, that he said he just didn't feel like his legs were underneath him. But I think one would imagine after missing basically a year and having an ACL surgery, I thought he did spectacular.
Well, we'll find out what efforts he's able to give here in his second week back as the Browns get ready to travel over to Minnesota to do battle with the Vikings. A 1 o'clock kickoff this Sunday. JT, what are your expectations heading into this one? What do the Brown and Orange need to do to bring back another W?
Well, I think they've got to be able to run that football effectively. It's going to be a difficult thing because they're playing in a stadium that's, it's an indoors affair there, and so they'll have to contend with that. This will be the first time they'll be in that type of a facility and not, have a full house. They didn't have to worry about that last year if they ever played any indoor games or anything of that nature. And Kirk Cousins last week was very good. He was kind of like what you would see, Baker was like 2 weeks ago against Houston. He was 30-38, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Hasn't thrown a pick this year, I believe. I think he's 8 touchdowns and no interceptions. And this Alexander Mattison had a real good game overall. And you're going, who the heck is Alexander Mattison? That's my question, probably everybody else's question. they've had injuries. He was the latest guy to get the carries. They can emphasize the run, much like the Browns do. It's the offense that Kevin, obviously, Stefanski came from. But he had 120-some yards running the ball, and he had like 60 or so yards receiving it. So he kind of had like a Kareem Hunt kind of a day, and they're 1-2 on the year. So if they can go in there and run the ball specifically, I think they have a real good shot at a win. This isn't a game that's, a slam dunk in, I think their favorite early in the week was like 3 points or something of that nature, Rocco.
Okay.
But this is clearly a winnable game, and it will be very cool to see just how things go for Kevin as he goes back to that organization and faces the one that really helped him a lot in his professional coaching career.
Yeah, a little bit of a coaching storyline back to his old stomping grounds heading into this one. So, wow, lots of different pieces, parts heading into this Sunday, but a chance to go 3-1 ultimately on the line for the Cleveland Browns again as they travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings, a 1 o'clock kickoff this Sunday. JT, thank you for your time here this morning. As always, we appreciate it for breaking down this week as far as the Cleveland Browns go. Looking forward to a good one on Sunday. Thank you again for the time, JT. Take care, man.
All right, you too, Rocco. Everybody have a great week. Enjoy this awesome weather, man.